Satsang with Maitreya, February 23rd, 2002.
Salam everybody. Salam means prepare salutations to the divinity within you, the essence in each of you. That means essence, God is in everyone and in every person. In this mission, we will try to teach you a path that will polish that essence and then bring the purest form of God in you to manifest with humanity. Welcome to the Vishnu Maitreya Satsang and lecture room. And of course, the room is our church and cyber, you know, place that we preach our teachings. The topic is Vishnu Maitreya, and in this revelation that has come to humanity, again, God has proven that He surely exists. There is no doubt about that. He has said He will do things all through history, and He has done it. Therefore, clearly, He does exist. And now, He has put all religions together and revealed to humanity how each of these religions have been sent to humanity and why they are one. There is no one, no one person on earth which has the whole truth but the mission of Maitreya, and therefore everyone else out there claims to have the truth. They might have a part of the truth, God might have revealed to them some truth, but the whole truth only comes after the seven seals is open, and now it is open, and the book sealed with the seven seals revealed to humanity. And we are welcome all of you to go to our website, read about it, find about it. It's all there for you to investigate the spirit, investigate the teaching, and see that God has fulfilled another of His promises, that He will send a revelation that will unify all religions. And now we know why He sent each religion separately, and now we can look at the whole picture and say, yes, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, it had not made sense, I would not have accepted myself. It makes a lot of sense, and those who are called for see the vision clearly. It needs no ego or expectation. Will submit to the will of God and say, yes, I am here to serve Him completely, physically, mentally, spiritually, individually and collectively, and they will get on with the mission and say, yes, I want to do this mission which is the will of God for sure. And they will submit and surrender to His will and say, yes, I understand now all these religions of the world, why God sent each of them separately. Because each of them had a message for humanity. Each of them had a specific, you know, reason to come. God sent all these messages through each revelation for humanity. Of course, the greatest sign that you will see, the first thing in our website, and somebody will put the website up, so you know how to go to it, is called the greatest sign. It's a yantra. It is Shri Shri Paramaha yantra, the greatest yantra for humanity. And if you look at the greatest sign, you will see that it has most of the religions of the world and unifies them together as one. And therefore, that sign shows a path, but eternal divine path, and the eternal divine path is the base of our teaching and the path to salvation for humanity, physically, mentally, spiritually, individually, and collectively. Therefore, we can see that now humanity can come, see, read, understand God's revelations, and they will not fight between Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Christians and Jews and any other religion, Baha'is and mystical path. They are all unified together For the first time, all religion is included. Some people say, no, our religion, for example, you know, Islam or Baha'i or Buddhism or Hinduism or all include everybody. No, it does not. Even a Baha'i teaching all the way, Judeo-Christian, Islamic and Baha'i teaching does not include mystical path. Also, they allude into it, but it's not explained as the part of God's revelations. Therefore, this revelation is the only one that includes all the religions of the world, including the mystical path. And even mystical path does not include the Judeo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i teachings. They do not believe, you know, as strongly as the concept of the Messiah and the coming of the teaching through one revealer, but they believe in many, many revealers and many gods and many, many different ways of looking at it. Therefore, we can see that the mission of Maitreya and this revelation for the first time covers all the paths and religions on the world and unifies them together as one, and that is very, very, very much related and is according to the prophecies that in 1900 all the prophecies and the end of the Kali Yoga and old age has will come and has come. Of course, there is many prophecies and explanations on the website that confirm this, that in 1900 all these things are going to come to their conclusion, and that is when this revelation can come to humanity. So we can see that God again said he will do this, and he has done it, and therefore he does exist. Basically, our teaching is based on five steps. The first step, awakening of the forces, which relates to all the mystical paths, including Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, mystical Christian, Sufism, and any other teaching that says, know thyself to know God, or be still and know that I am God. And those mystical paths are the path that teaches you to meditate, to concentrate, to contemplate, to know thyself. And the essence of them is that yourself and God are one, and God is within you, and if you know yourself, you can know God for sure. And that covers all the mystical path. In mystical path, of course, the goal is to reach God and become one with him, and like a drop fall into the ocean, and that is the goal. Of course, we can see in the scripture God said, no, you can't do that. That is not the goal. The goal also is to create the kingdom of heaven on earth, and that is given in the Old Testament. We can see that the Hebrews has been chosen as a people who God wants them to accept God as their king and his laws as their laws and become one with him and follow his laws. Of course, that was until the Shiloh or Messiah come, and when Christ came, of course, that promise was taken away from them, and as Christ said, will be given to another nation. Of course, when Christ came, he taught sacrifice, creation of the second seal, or the Old Testament is called the communities of light. So God wanted to choose a tribe that the people in that tribe choose God as their king and follow his laws. And therefore, you can see the whole Old Testament is talking about communities based on God and his laws. And of course, Christ came to show that to create such a communities, sacrifice is necessary, and even all the way to the cross. Otherwise, in any community, everybody says, well, this is even for me only. Such a community cannot last very long, and it cannot become its of life. Therefore, the third step is sacrifice in the community, and even we sacrifice, we might still become attached to the result of our actions, and we say, why am I doing all this, nothing happening, or I'm doing this, something happening, and it is me doing it. Therefore, the fourth step is surrendering and submission to God. Surrendering means to surrender the resolve to God and not to be attached to the resolve. Submission means letting God come through you and do the great work through you. And that is when He is the doer, you are not the doer, therefore how can you be attached to the resolve? And that's of course the theme and the very meaning of Islam. Submission and surrender, being submissions and surrender to God. And of course, still you might become attached to the very small part of the universe. And therefore, the universal teaching for the first time, being the only, all the religions have universal elements in them, but for the first time, the universal teaching comes from Bab and Baha'u'llah, and that is the universal teaching that comes to humanity, as all religions basically are the same, they have the same, say the same thing, and we have to listen to the essence, all of them, so we can see that all is going to come from God. A lot of people compare us with Baha'is and say, well, what do you say different than Baha'i? Well, it's the same thing. Basically, religions are the same, but you don't say that. You know, they had their good point. Yes, there's a lot of similarity in all religions, but in our teaching and this revelation, it doesn't say all of them are the same, but it says each of them have a specific message for humanity. And therefore, when we put them together, then see the picture. So it is completely different than Baha'i teaching, although it does unify all the religions and has a universal point of the view of all religions have come from the same God. Of course, when you go through this five step, awakening of official forces, creation of communities of life, sacrifice, surrender and submission to God, and become a universalist, then you become an elect. Elect is the sixth seal in our teaching. We call them para-vipras, or elect, are those people who meditate, who contemplate, who concentrate, they think, they read, they, you know, search, they find the truth by themselves and see the vision of the mission and say, yes, I see the vision, I can see what my dream is fighting about, I can see it's beautiful, it makes sense, I want to be a part of it. I will work for the communities of life. You know, they do not create a big ego that, yes, now I'm in the mission of my career, therefore I'm pretty, you know, big. But you are. You don't know that about it. When you're in this mission and you join the mission and you see the vision, be assured you are a great soul. Otherwise, you wouldn't see the vision. You wouldn't even be able to even come to the mission and or go to the website or find us and all that. So you don't have to prove anything really that, oh, you are a great soul. You already are. Just by being in the mission, seeing the vision, you are a great soul. Now, who you were in the previous lifetime, it doesn't really matter. You know, the most important is you are a great soul and you have come here and saw the vision and now you are a part of God's plan. Therefore, the sixth seal is for the people. Again, they awaken the spiritual process. They direct their energy to the creation of the communities of life. And they sacrifice for it. The third seal, the Christianity. They become surrendered and submissive to God. They accept His will for them. The fourth seal, Islam, and they become universalists. They realize universe is their own. God is their father and mother. And the rest of the universe is struggling. You need consciousnesses that they have to help to reach to consciousness and eventually God help or return to God. And therefore these people are dynamic spiritual forces that they understand God's plan, they read all the scripture, they know all the scriptures, they know all the teachings of God, and they can sit with any religious people and quote the books, Bible, Quran, Upanishads, anything in the in God's revelation and talk with His religious people and show them where their revelation falls. No matter what came before this revelation, they fall in our teaching somewhere. Actually, we will have a temple which in the shape of the greatest sign, and around the center of the temple there's going to be bookstores, libraries, not bookstores, libraries, that it's going to include every kind of books in it about the spirituality from mystical path all the way to, you know, Judaism, Christianity, and anything between them historically, whatever between them, we're going to put in a historical way around the center of the temple so people can go and study and read different ideas. But the whole idea is we do not hold you back from reading, studying, searching and understanding different religion or teachings, but put, see where they fall in the greatest sign, where they fall in the mission's teaching. Then you will see very clearly, although there is a lot of truth out there, each of them fall in a specific place in the greatest sign, and they belong there, and you are not going to be confused by saying, oh, that was great, I found something even greater than greatest sign or the teaching of mission. They can't be. It isn't. They are a part of the teaching, but nothing is really greater than the greatest sign and the teaching of the unification of all religions. So, we have come to the room of the greatest revelation can be humanity, and such a lex eventually will help humanity to create the communities of light all over the world, and we will create a world that is based on God and His revelation, and the unity of humanity and religion and God will become one, and His kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven already. He is the king anyway. He will be the king of the earth, and all powers to him just expect, you know, and he can change things around very fast as he wills. So we can see that our teaching is based on the scriptures and the word of God, and do not listen to any human or person, but listen to God's revelation. Actually, there are a lot of, as I call, ego chattering in all over the world, and even in this time talk, you go to many rooms, and a lot of people, they think they all have the truth, and they are the Messiah, or the teacher, or that, but don't go and listen to them too much, you know, because they will affect you and your mind, and that is ego chattering. The only place to find the truth is to go to God and His revelations, and His scriptures. So spend more time with the scriptures and the word of God instead of listening to the people who claim to have the truth, but they have opinions. So this is the base of our teaching. Actually, I will not going to explain the greatest sign today. I thought, you know, we're mostly going to be our own people here, but I saw, you know, new people here, and it is plain now. You have heard the revelation. Of course, it is very brief, it's much, much more involved, and it expands itself to cover every aspect of human life, from the lowest to the highest level in your life. And of course, it's all on the website. You can go to our website and read about them. And if you have a question about the mission, about our teaching, please come back and raise your hand, and I would be more than glad to explain it to you. It is that if you really follow the eternal divine path, you have no choice but to shatter your ego. And of course, you can imagine you are in a mission and you are an elect, but does not make you an elect. A real elect is the person who follows the eternal divine path. If you do not follow the eternal divine path, you are not an elect. You know, just, oh, I'm in a mission of Maitreya, therefore I'm elect. No, it does not. It's not, this mission is not a cult or something that I want to keep you into it. It is a path. You have to see, you have to see the vision, you have to follow it, and after you reach to a point that you saw the vision, then we are co-workers and we work together to bring this wonderful vision to humanity. If my explanation wasn't enough, go ahead and ask the specific questions. If you have other questions, also go ahead and ask. Please raise your hand, and I will call you to the mic. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Maitreya. Could you discuss the difference between the seven seals there on the bottom of the greatest sign and its difference between the Hasht symbol in the center? Because the I Ching's in a different position. I thought you might discuss that a little.
Yeah, well, actually, if you go to the website, the greatest sign starts with a dot. It's a blue background, and they think there is nothing in it. It's just like the universe before the creation. Everything was in the state of beingness or balance, and there was no movement or no ego or no separation in any part of it. It was in a state of being. And then a dot appears, and then the I Ching swells, and then it expands to the lotusika, the lotusika in the middle, and then a triangle downward appears. That is the very center of the greatest sign is the representation of God Himself. In the beginning, there was all being and no awakening or realization of knownness, newness, and memory. And therefore, that dot is what scientists call the Big Bang and the beginning of the creation. Somehow, there was a desire arose in the collective beings, and that desire brought the imbalance between the balance in the universe and created that imbalance, put everything out of balance, and the first sign of creation, which is Big Bang or that dot, appears. And then, of course, the I Ching is the symbol of positive and negative, the duality in the universe. Somebody was saying, you know, the whole thing is duality. There was a discussion between people that everything is duality, and where is that there is no duality? The only place there is no duality is the pure consciousness or in a state of being. While you are in the body, while you are in a cold and hot, when you are in a good and bad, everything is in a duality. You see two things as a good and bad. But if you are in a non-dualistic state of consciousness, pure consciousness, even bad is good sometimes, because destruction means new creation. You know, what happens when you want to build a new house, you know, over an old house? Can you say, oh no, I'm not going to destroy the old house and build a new one? You know, the destruction is a bad thing, it's negative. No, it's not. If you want to create a nice house in place of an older one, you have to destroy the old one. If there is no malicious, you know, intent in doing that, you just have to destroy the old. And that is exactly what's happening on Earth. The old has to be destroyed, and new consciousness and new evolutionary process has to come to humanity. Therefore, the old has to be destroyed. Or some people say, oh, you have to be nice to everyone, and sometimes you don't. You know, just like a surgeon, you know, who has to get the tumor out. Can you be nice to the tumor and say, oh, no, I'm not going to hurt you? You know, you don't have any choice. You have to cut and get the tumor out and say, okay, now you're going to heal. So then the duality is no longer there, and you can see that God's work perfect as it is. And you don't see that some people say, why there is so much suffering, so much destruction? You know, God doesn't bring destruction. We bring destruction on ourselves. So we can see that undualistic state of being was before the creation was created, or was in the state of beingness. And then that thought appears, and then the I Ching is the duality which appears, and it changes to the lotusika. The lotus is the grace of God, and the tostika, of course, is the destructive force in the universe in order to destroy and rebuild and create and all that. And, of course, the triangle downward is when the creation started, the chaos was there. It was chaos, and in the chaotic state, God's spirit comes to that darkness, and as we can read in the Bible, you know, that there was darkness and the Spirit of God moved over the water, and that triangle downward actually is the Spirit of God which comes to the universe and get the hold of the unit consciousness, which you can be in the bottom as the I Ching with the dot in the middle in the horizontal position. That I Ching in the horizontal position is the unit consciousness which whose consciousness has not been awakened. What do you do when you want to fall asleep? When you want to fall asleep, you lie down. What position you become? You become horizontal. You're not vertical. Then you want to active and awaken. What do you do? You awaken. You stand up. What kind of position are you in? There? You're vertical. So that arching in the bottom is in the horizontal position means consciousness not awakened yet. And that is where the mystical path starts. That is what it's recommended to meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, know thyself to know God, and everything which is related to the all mystical path and the teachings like Hinduism. Hinduism teaches meditation, awaken your... The essence of good Hinduism is really the Upanishads. Okay, it says Atman is the same as Atman. Atman with a small a is the same as Atman with the big A, which is Brahma. Or we can say even, know, in every culture, you know, they will tell you, know thyself to know God. It's very simple. It means that self in you is the essence of God. If you know that essence, you know God. You don't have to go to church or synagogue or mosque or in the mountain or here and there, but within yourself. Of course, if you go to the mountain, you know, and you're a quieter place and it is closer to nature, so you're closer to yourself. When you go to the mosque and those places, there was supposed to be the source of the knowledge of God, and they are supposed to connect you to yourself, to God, and teach you the, you know, essence that is you and is the same as God, and teach you how to overcome, and who overcometh, of course, become the Son of God, as it's been declared in the Bible. In all through the Bible, that overcoming is equal with coming, becoming the Son of God, and there is no path faster to overcome than the eternal divine path. So we can see that arching in the middle is in the horizontal. You have to awaken your spiritual forces. But is that it? If I awaken my spiritual forces, am I going to be reached through consciousness? God said no. You have to direct that energy toward the creation of the comings of life. Then the second seal. And then you have to sacrifice for the community the third seal. Then in the fourth seal, eventually you surrender and submit your ego to God. And you do the work of God and the will of God, and you surrender the resolve to God. Or even better than that, then you submit to God and you let God do the work through you. Then you become one. You and one become one, doesn't it? When you let God work through you, who's the doer? God is doer. Where are you? Nowhere to see. You know, the only thing come through is God. And therefore, you and the Father are one. And in that state, you can see in the greatest Son, the I Ching is no longer is in a horizontal position, but it becomes a vertical position because you have really awakened your spiritual forces. Because if you reach a point that you know what the will of God is, and then let Him do it through you, will He do a perfect job? He will, because God is perfect. You know, as the scripture says, God is perfect, be perfect as my Father. So it means, you know, God is perfect, and your goal is to become perfect as God, and then you become a divine. Because yesterday I was thinking, what the divine stands for? You know, and discussing, you know, what the divine, how can we make divine, because we are following the eternal divine path, we are divine. What does it stand for? We can put a lot of wording, but eventually divine stands for divine instruction, let me see, very inspired, no ego. Actually, the, or the beginning of the words we put them together, divine instruction, which is the eternal divine path, and though very inspired, V-I, and no ego, N-A, no N-E, so the divine stands for that. And then become divine, of course, you means you are perfect as God is, so God does the word through you, you don't get frustrated. You don't say, oh, why are these people not listening to me? Why is not things that I'm going to do today? I think it should be. You are free because God is doing it through you. And if you're not doing the perfect job, if you are, you know, still have a slightest ego left, you are blocking God to come through. You know, you are not one with God. You're not surrendering and submitting yourself to His will. And therefore, what happened? Your ego, like an umbrella, blocks the grace, blocks the, you know, perfection which God is. Therefore, the goal is to reach to the surrendering and submissive to God completely, absolutely being surrendering and submissive to God and say, your will be done, not mine. And that is when your spiritual forces are happening. So you can see that in the fourth seal, the bottom seal really, the I Ching become vertical in a vertical position, and it becomes in the image of God. In the fourth seal, the I Ching is no longer horizontal anymore. Therefore, the rest of it, the lotus tipa, is the same as God in the middle, and the I Ching is in the vertical position. Therefore, you and the Father become one. You become in His image, and that is what we have been created. We have been created in the image of God. And then you reach the fourth seal, we can see that, you know, we are one. There is no separation between you and God, and you reach the perfection. Okay? Of course, the seal, you know, we have to become universalists to shatter all the narrowness of the mind, and then, of course, we surely become an elect. So you can see the difference between the sign in the bottom and the sign in the middle. Only is that we have not completely surrendered and submitted ourselves to the will of God, and our spiritual forces has not been awakened. And by doing that in the fourth seal, we overcome that part, and the very bottom seal and the middle seal become in each other's image. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, you can go ahead and have a follow-up. One of the things, you know, it's, everybody can do easily if you cannot meditate, just sit in front of the greatest sign and gaze at it. And of course, read the teaching, listen to the satsangs, explanations that we have given for the last 22 years and or 20 years, and realize things. You know, people have realized things that, you know, come to me and they tell me about, you know, that these realizations, and they, you know, even I had not seen it that before in the greatest sign, and they make a lot of sense, and therefore, it is something that it can reveal itself forever. It's just like God. God is a revelation that never ends, and forever will continue to reveal itself to you. If you get connected to God's consciousness, it is infinitely revealing. Kyosha, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I had a question about sacrifice. We know that Jesus Christ, also known as Jesus, is the one who came to teach us about sacrificing, about giving of yourself and not being self-centered. But the question is, how do you know sometimes that you're sacrificing for the very best? I mean, there's lots of things that you can actually give your whole life to, which are very, not very inclusive kinds of things. For example, you could sacrifice your life fighting for a war to kill others of another religion or something like that. You are actually sacrificing, but you know, your sacrifice is not going to be very worthwhile. Or say you have a job and you put so much effort into it, so many hours into it, that you have no time left for your family or things like that. How do you know about sacrificing for the very highest?
Part of our teaching teaches everything can be three kinds, as the universe and the forces are three kinds. It can be from ignorance, tamaguna, it can be from the passion, rajaguna, and it can be from knowledge, sattvaguna. Therefore, anything that we do, it can be from ignorance, So sacrifice can be from ignorance, or it can be from passion. Passion is when we expect a return. You know, when we do a sacrifice and we expect some return from our sacrifice, that of course is from passion. And if we sacrifice for something that is not worthwhile or will not help anyone, or even it's destructive, it's from ignorance. And if the sacrifice is based on the eternal divine path and directed toward the creation of the kingdom of heaven and earth without any expectation for return, that is of course the sacrifice from knowledge, and that is the highest. Of course, that is why we recommend everybody follow eternal divine path. In eternal divine path, know thyself. How many people want to know themselves? A lot of people, you know, chatter, they watch television, drink, you know, go here and there, and all those, stimulating their central, you know, senses all the time, and go to the world, and they never know themselves, and they're born ignorant, and they die ignorant at the time of death, have no idea who they are, why they were here, why they were created, and what is the goal of life. So that is why we recommend the following of the eternal divine path: to know thyself, creation, then direct that energy toward the creation of the communities of light. Communities of light is based on God and His teaching and His will and His laws, and therefore you know the goal of the life is to become divine, and therefore you sacrifice for that community, which is based on the eternal divine path. It's based, it actually comes of light, it's the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And therefore your sacrifice is absolutely based on God's will, and therefore it's not from ignorance or passion, but it's based on the knowledge. And then you learn to know that what the will of God is, and you let Him do it through you. Therefore, again, your sacrifice is based on the will of God, and then you become a universalist, you expand your mind, and you shatter all knowledgeness of the mind of this religion and that religion, and this nation and that nation, and this race and that race, or this gender and that. That is universalism. Universalism, you have no prejudicity, no separation. God's essence is in every man and woman on this earth and anywhere in the universe. Therefore, you look at every person as the essence of God in them. Therefore, your sacrifice and your surrendering and realization of God's will is throughout the universe. Therefore, you do not, you know, kill other people because they are another religion, or because they are different, you know, culture or things. So you expand your mind. You will teach other people also expand their mind, and therefore eventually, hopefully, humanity reach a point that they see each man and woman and child is a child of God, and therefore they cannot kill them, because then you kill them, you kill God in them, and therefore you create a very bad karma. Therefore you will not do that, and therefore you are absolutely one with God and universe, and the peace will come, because you will not separate and demonize other people so you can kill them with no feeling and actually be proud of it. You cannot be proud of killing other people, no matter who does it. Is it being a terrorist or being an army? They do the same thing. They still kill that essence in man. And so humans have to be re-educated and educated again and again to overcome these prejudices, separation, and destructive tendencies. And therefore, everybody direct their energy and self-realization throughout the creation of communities of light, which eventually will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And any other sacrifice, any other teaching, any other realization is narrow, small, little, and will not bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, but this will. Therefore, the sacrifice for knowledge is what the eternal divine path recommends. Sacrifice throughout the creation of the communities of light, and that is from absolute knowledge. It is not from ignorance. It's not from passion. It is from passion if even then you do it with an expectation. You know, passion is a business. Business is a passion. you do a business. You know, and some people say, our business is to serve you. Now, serve means, you know, service done without no expectation. And you go take your car there or say, okay, come on, serve my car. At the end, they say, yeah, you have to pay $500 for it. Hell, I thought you serve this. Service means no expectation. But of course, really, they mean, you know, passionately, we do this for you, you pay for it. It's like, okay. I'm not saying they shouldn't receive that fair, wages, but that is a passion, in business kind of thing. I do something, you do something, but in the real sacrifice is you do it for God and no expectation will be there. So we can see that the only real service that is not from passion or ignorance is this sacrifice based on the eternal divine path. And if it's not based on the eternal divine path, if you go to work and you are in a mission, you have to realize you are working not for that company, not that place. You are working to support yourself so you become a productive person in the society and at the same time, you know, support the mission, you know, as much as you can. Of course, if you are a member of the mission and you have been initiated, you automatically, surrender, tied to the for your cause, and if you're not initiated, of course it's up to you. We do nothing, but God is very clear on that, to everyone. So we can see that even your job should be graced with this ideation that you shouldn't be attached too much to your job, but you are there to do the will of God and realize that you are a part of Him. So even then, you're not that completely, engrossed to a job that completely takes your life away from the mission. So that is also, of course, become a sacrifice of passion if you don't do that. So we can see that if any action we do, anything, sacrifice was example there, but any action we do can be from ignorance, means our action benefit no one. If from passion, that our action, we expect something in return, or from knowledge, is based on the will of God and eternal divine path toward the creation of the commons of life and the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, that is the best action you can take in your life. I hope that makes sense. If you have a follow-up, you can follow the question. So we can see that eternal divine path is the salvation. We went through the eternal divine path many times in the mission. We gathered a lot of people and discussed it, and we always came to the same conclusion: that is the salvation for humanity. Go ahead, Brad.
But is the first begotten Son that consciousness that was is it different than what were the lost human consciousness at the chaos at the creation? Or is it different because God willed that the messenger become the way and the truth? Or was that first consciousness part of the lost unit consciousness that were in
chaos? Okay. Yeah, it's a very good question. In the beginning of the creation, when the creation, universe or God went out of balance, and the first sign of the creation, came to the state of being. The first feeling in the universe was, I know, the knowledge, that knownness, I know. And the second feeling, of course, the knownness come from the sattva guna, the sentient force, and that is the knowledge of the universe. And then, of course, the second feeling was, I do, and that is raja guna, or mutative force. And that doerness of consciousness, and of course after it's done, you have a memory of you, what you have done. Therefore, the feeling of I have done, or the purifying force, or the memory, or the first fine ether was formed in the universe, and the feeling of the I knowness, I have done, was created. Actually, ether is the where the Akashic record and all the history of universe is store. That is what you know, Bible calls the you know, the source of knowledge, or tablets, or Quran called it the tablets.
Eternal tablets.
Eternal tablets, and it's Sajin and all that. So you can see every religion knows that memory. There is a memory in God's mind that have all the everything happens in the universe. He is recorded there, and that is also where the revelation comes to the prophets and bring to humanity and correct the previous religions and revelation. That's why man can go ahead and change the revelation if they want, and they do change the revelation, and they think they can, you know, change the revelation and bring something that is man-made, and they do that, but God brings another prophet and reveals the truth to humanity and those who already see that. So we can see that that made that three stage of knownness, do-ness, and have-done create the unit consciousnesses, or the feeling of separation. Actually, unit consciousness itself, it's a kind of an illusion, because then the moment you say unit conscious, you separate unit from God, and there is not such a thing as anything separated from God. It is an illusion of separation from God, which is really Maya, is created, and that illusion makes separate beings, and they think they are separated from each other, and because of our experiences, a subconscious mind is created in many lifetimes, creates different kind of ego, which is different than ours. But in essence, when we all reach that pure consciousness, we are all one. There is no separation. There is no nothing that separates me from you or anyone else. And therefore, there was an elusive feeling of separation from God. And of course, the Spirit of God has to come to that chaos, which is illusion, which is Maya. And that consciousness needed, that the Spirit of God needed a consciousness to go through the process of eternal divine path and reach to consciousness back to God and realize the path. And of course, that consciousness was the closest consciousness to God. You know, there were many, many consciousnesses were there from the very top to crudest part, and that unit consciousness which was closest to God had the greatest opportunity to return to God, and therefore God's Spirit manifests through that unit consciousness, which is really an illusion, not a separation. It's a very, very interesting topic. If you close your eyes and imagine that there is a unit consciousness, but really there isn't, because even the unit consciousness itself is an illusion, because there is nothing separated from God, then you can see the Maya is just like a wheel that separates us from, you know, God, but that the wheel itself is an illusion by itself. But if we accept that elusive state of consciousness, the closest to God was the one who received the Spirit of God and went through the eternal divine path. He meditated, he started having his spiritual courses, he realized that he and the one Father are one. You know, God is the same as he is. That illusion of separation was shattered. You know. So, and then he also realized that there are a lot of other souls, you know, because the Spirit of God was with him, he progressed very fast. He realized that other unit consciousnesses are in this illusion of separation, and he tried to help them, to make them understand they are already one with God. They have the essence in them. They didn't want to accept. They wanted new religion, different ideology. You know, they just wanted to accept a Messiah that will do everything for them. Then God said, you know, you have to awaken your spiritual forces, and they should take the responsibility for their progress. Therefore, that unit consciousness went through the, you know, awakening of spiritual forces, helping other unit consciousnesses to awaken their spiritual forces. Therefore, he created kind of a center for the other unit consciousnesses to higher level to progress. He realized that they are not progressing. He got very upset and depressed, and then he He committed a progress, he became very elated and created an ego that, oh, what a great person I am, I'm doing this. And he didn't get separated from the God, and that illusion came back. And eventually he realized, yeah, well, I really shouldn't be attached to the result of my action. And I surrendered that to God, and eventually realized he should even go beyond that and become surrendered and submissive to him and let God do the work through him and or her. And he went on and realized that still he is attached to a very small part of the universe. He realized God is everything, the whole universe. There is no separation. He cannot separate man from man or unit consciousness from unit consciousness because they are different than him. And he eventually shattered, you know, all the knowledge of the mind and become an elect. You know, he reached the sixth seal, and he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. So the decision was that he will not, go to pure consciousness himself until he has made everyone else go to the pure consciousness first. Therefore, that is his sacrifice. That is his decision not to go in unless, until everybody are in. Of course, the energy of the universe is limited. The beginning energy will one day be exhausted. And in that time, those who have reached pure consciousness will reach, will go in, and the door will be closed for millions of billions of years before the next creation is created. Therefore, there is an urgency for everyone to go in. That is why I'm here. I want to get you guys in. I want to see you guys reach true consciousness. That is why we are calling the elect, the people who have been with that unit consciousness from the very beginning. They have progress, they have awakened their spiritual forces, they want to create the community of life. They don't have much of an ego left in them. They want to sacrifice. They want to surrender and submit to God and become a universalist and teach the rest of humanity these wonderful revelations and teaching. Therefore, we create an environment that people share with each other, and they create a place for everyone to have their physiological and safety be taken care of. And then we will have every person progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. So we have to create a place that it is one humanity, one world, under one God. And that unit consciousness, of course, you know, comes back again and again. They stone him, they crucify him, they kill him, they shot him. They say, hello, here I am, back here. And now what are you going to do? They again kill him, or don't listen to him. Or everybody says, no, I know better than, you know, that unit consciousness was good for me, and I'm not going to listen to anybody else or listen to my own ego or my own little understanding of God, and I will not follow, you know, God. And therefore, that's what you say. This is God's revelation. This is God's teaching. This is the way back to Father, and it is the way to create the kingdom of heaven on earth. No one else has the way and the teaching and can take you there. So that unit consciousness was the first who reached true consciousness in before the creation, and that unit consciousness will return with the Spirit God back to humanity again and again and again, according to our decision. You know, in the mission of Maitreya, you know, Maitreya will return again and again until we create the hierarchy from the communities of life. So we are not in a hurry. We have many, many lifetimes to come back and do that. But of course, there is an urgency to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth as soon as possible. So that unit consciousness was closest to God. And the Spirit of God went through him, and therefore he became the first begotten Son. The difference between the first begotten Son and the rest of the sons are he was the first who reached true consciousness before creation, but to help the unit consciousness to reach true consciousness in that state was difficult. That is why God decided to create the universe based on the evolutionary process. If you go wrong, you create karma, you go away from God, you suffer. If you do good, you follow God's will, you progress, you go toward God, you'll suffer less. So in this process, eventually, after many lifetimes, you say, I had enough of this Maya and delusion. I want to return to God. Of course, I believe anybody who comes to the mission and see the vision, they are great souls, that they have seen the vision, they have come, you know, they have done this many lifetimes. Okay, but what you were in the previous lifetimes, don't even think about it, don't even, you know, try to find out too detail about it, otherwise you lose the vision of why we are here for. But they are all great souls that they have come to help the mission to reach where it is supposed to be. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, have a follow up.
Hello, Maitreya. A question that I would have for you today is in reference to all the prophets that have come to Earth. Out of all the prophets on Jesus, Isa, his mother Mary, has been one of the most well-known mothers of the prophets. And a lot of Christians and Catholics, you know, pray to Mary. And why is she as more popular as the mother of the prophets than the others?
Well, the mother of also Buddha is very famous, and he is also, she has also a lot of fame in Buddhist, you know, Buddhism and culture. In Islam, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad has a place almost, you know, as exalted as Mary the mother. And of course, Mary or the mother or the daughter, none of them were the Messiah or the prophet, and none of them really should be as exalted as the prophet himself. So that is why, you know, you can see in other religions, you know, the prophet probably has been, you know, considered greater than anybody else. And of course, Christianity, we know, was affected a lot with Roman teaching and the things that were not all Christian. Of course, mother and the female energy was very much is worshipped in pagan religions, just like Nimrod and his mother. And his wife and the mother of his son become very famous and very exalted in those things, and also in the other religions before Christianity in Rome, the mother had a great place in the teachings. Therefore, when they accepted Christianity, that part also became very, you know, very prominent in the Christian religion. But the most important part of every prophet is their message, not the mother or the daughter or the sister or anyone, but what the message of the prophet was and what God was trying to bring to humanity. And therefore we can see that we should not exalt any, not even prophet himself. No, because then we exalt man, we create image. And whenever we create image, the image is in our way to God. And we will get stuck with the image, and we will not go to formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And therefore, you know, they became idol, and idol worshipping, of course, is prohibited with the greatest prophets. And the only accepted God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Therefore, we have to destroy the idols. We have to take them away and teach man that they should not worship idols, but worship God, which is a spirit in your spirit, which is within you, and know thyself, to know God. And therefore, you know, again, this is another teaching that, you know, Christians and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists have to realize they have to go away from either idealizing pictures, you know, statues, you know, and all those things. And apparently, you know, it seems some people think it helps them to worship a picture because their spirit, they're really worshiping the spirit behind it. But still, it is something external. Whatever is external did not take you to God. The only thing takes you to God is eternal realization of self, as I and the Father are one, me and God are one, my spirit is the same as the spirit of God, and that is what we worship, not as an egoistical way, but as humble way to realize that the Atman and Self and God are one. Therefore we can see anything is external should not be promoted, should be discouraged, and no matter how the people, how much people are attached to it, the moment you give something shape, name, visibility, it will create separation. Which one is the Mary the mother? The picture with the black hair, or the blonde hair, or the red hair? Which one is Christ? The black hair or the blonde hair with the blue eyes? You see, the moment you create something external, it will create separation, because whatever is manifested is not the essence, is not God. And that is what we have been teaching for the last 20 years, and we are hoping that our members understand this teaching and look at the essence of themselves and not become bogged down with the external things that is out there, and teach also Christian, Muslim, Hindus, Buddhists that look within. That is the highest. Not the picture, not the mother, not even the prophet himself. But the spirit behind the teaching, the message. What is the message that God sent through that prophet to humanity? And that is what they have to understand. And nobody is going to take you there but you yourself. You have to put effort. You have to not to be a lukewarm, but completely one more pointed toward God and His revelation. And know that God is first. Listen, understand, read, and then see the vision, and do not let anybody deceive you or take you away from the essence and the highest that He can reveal to you. And then you can see that none of these things are important. The most important thing is God within, that essence within. So we can see that, again, that the reason for that is the effect of the religions before the Roman Empire accepted Christianity. They accepted Christianity, but they really changed everything around to what they believed before that. So if we know that, then we realize that, well, that's another thing that we have to watch out. And then, of course, we come to teaching and we realize, well, none of them is really important. You know, we can completely overcome them. I hope that makes sense to you, Tyra. If you have a question, you can follow up.
Thank you so much, Maitreya. That's a beautiful answer. And yes, it does make sense to me. I don't think I have any follow-up with it, other than understanding a little bit more about why people, you know, pray for intercession to the Father instead of going directly to the essence, as you just said, that without shape or form and so forth. So thank you very much, Maitreya.
Yeah, it is a very good question, actually. It is why humans can't understand that the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal, that's what they have to go to. Don't get attached to the prophet, don't get attached to the mother, sister, you know, daughter, or anybody, you know, but to God Himself. apparently it's very hard for them to realize the formless, invisible, nameless God. It's easy for them to see a shape, you know, and they say, oh, this is probably if I bow down in front of this picture 5 times, then maybe grace of God comes to me. It sounds like it's very hard for them to really, just like a Hindu's religion. Hindu's religion is really Upanishads, you know, all those statues and all those gods they have created. They have not created with the highest spiritual beings in Hindu religion. It's created with the lower level of consciousness in the Hindu religion. And the high level of consciousness in Hindu religion realize Atman and Atman are one. When you read Upanishads, you know, you see, wow, that's great. That's where only place I can find God. You cannot find it in Ganesh or you know, the statue of Krishna, or it is within you. That is where you have to look. Maybe it was because this was Kali Yoga to this point. It was in the time of ignorance. And because it was in the time of ignorance, God allowed people to look for Him in the thing they could relate as something external. Now is the time of the golden age. We have again returned to knowing God is within us, and within ourselves, and know ourselves to know God. That is might be why it to this point has been allowed, and now we have to return to the deeper level. Go ahead, Tahira.
Thank you, Maitreya. I just had another thought that was coming to me as you were speaking about this. With all the many, many apparitions that Mary has had, you know, to the world, to many people, I think that probably the attachment of what you're talking about, I guess, unless you need to clarify that further with me, that because of that, people have held on to that strength and that devotion to her, probably because of the story of the many apparitions and so forth. So
that
should be considered also in separation.
Like a portrait,
right? Is that correct?
Of course, we can say that Mary is the symbol of the Holy Ghost, is the female part of God, or the Raja Guna, or energy, which directed toward God and higher self, or is influenced with Sattva Guna, which is called the Holy Ghost. So you can say that she represents also the Holy Ghost in the essence that Christ was the logic or father, and she was the Holy Ghost as two sides of God, as male and female. But of course, again, it is manifested as a being. When it's manifested again, it separates between man and man and human, and we have to realize both of them is with Him. It is not something as a statue or a picture out there. And of course, visions are the things that are used by God to bring them closer to Himself, because those people who see those visions need them. Otherwise, they would not believe in God. They would not, you know, accept Him as a God, and would not, you know, become close to the religion. Just like Prophet Muhammad, he has to have that vision of Gabriel to tell him read, and of course he didn't know how to read. You know, and he said, "I can read," and he said, "Read." He said, "I can read." He said, "Read," and he started revealing the revelation from God. He's really, he was reading Akashic record. He was an illiterate man. So he had to have that vision. He had to see the Gabriel as a being to accept his mission. Some people probably to this point needed the visions they had from Mary. You know, all over the world they see the vision. But it's not even Christian things seeing the vision. There were a lot of Muslims, and you know, when I was growing up, they could see, you know, the Prophet, or mostly they would see the Imams after Prophet that would have come to us. Actually, there was a fountain in that village that I used to go in the summer, that it was a fountain would come out of the stone. It was completely a stone, and the water would come through the stone, and the bottom of the water was a hole, kind of a place that the water would go into it, people would go and pick up the water from that hole. And the water was gushing out of this, you know, stone. It was pure stone, and suddenly the water would come in. And the vision was that they saw one of the imams came with his horse, and the leg of the horse hit that stone and made that hole and the water, and the person who saw it, he was adamant that is what happened. And the next day when he wakes up, he sees that hole and the water there that appear. So you can see the vision is given to every religious people to strengthen their faith and their commitment to that religion. But of course we know God is a spirit. God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal, and that is the highest level of the realization. So many people, a couple of years ago, the people in India and Hindu religion, they had a vision that any time there was a Ganesh present, milk would come out of his eyes. Okay, and they had that vision of, you know, or that belief that that's happening all over the world. So we can see these visions are given to every. Why they have to see Ganesh, and the people in Christianity have to see Mary, and Islam they see an imam? Because it's given according to your, you know, belief and faith, you know, and therefore you can see those visions because they are needed in that time for those people to see that and to strengthen their belief. So it's all over the world. It is given to people they need it, but really the greatest realization is knowing God is within you and is always with you, and there is no separation between you and Him, and you are one. So that is even greater than a vision and a understanding the way we have seen all over the world given to different religions. So, but of course, in the West, we only know about Christianity. We are not aware that other religions do that, because, you know, that's what we're concentrating on. And but if we expand ourselves and study and go to other cultures, we see that they have the same things. Go ahead, Shakti.
I've thought about these kind of things before, when you hear about people all over the world seeing the apparitions and Mary, and I used to try to, you know, think why this was happening, and I'd like to ask you, because this thought did come to me, a question. Do some of these people see these apparitions because they desire it so much within themselves to see it? Do they see it from their own desire for it?
Right, exactly, Shakti. It is the desire to. This is they have a great love for Mary the Mother. They have a great, you know, desire to see Him, you know, in a vision, you know, or even if sometimes just look at the rug in your home. And if you concentrate enough, you will see some pattern that looks like somebody or something, okay? And if you really look around, you will find, you know, that there are, you know, shadows that look like something. So it happens, you know, there was a shadow in a glass in one of the shopping centers or somewhere in United States, looks like Christ, you know, but we really don't know how he looks like, because we never had a picture of him, and now they say he is an image of Christ. How do we know it? But because we have a black hair Christ, we have a, you know, blue eye Christ, we have Christ with the Middle Eastern looking or the Western looking. Which one was it? But they say, well, look, it looks like an image of Christ. They want to see it, so they see it. They want to have that vision. They receive it. So it is something we desire, very, you know, strongly, and so God gave it to us, you know. And then we, of course, say, we are the only people who see this vision. It's not true. They see the vision all over the world according to their desire and according to their want, but the greater than that is the message of Christ for any teacher. Go ahead, Asterion. Asterion.
I wanted to ask, if indeed 777 is Maitreya himself.
Okay, well, actually, seven as seven seals, seven, you know, hills, seven cities, seven valleys. Seven is a very mystical number, and actually it's the number of God, and that's why now he reveals the seven seals. And the seven seal, of course, is the end of the revelations. It unifies all religions and reveals everything you have to know about God and his plan, everything. And seven chakras, you know, when you reach this seventh chakra, you reach to pure consciousness and you become one with God. So seven is the number of God. And of course, is that the number of Maitreya? It is that. If it is that your realization, it is. And because actually seven is very prominent in the mission, it's the seven seals, you know, and seven trumpets, seven revelation, seven angels. Everything is very prominent. Seven in the mission. You can say, you know, okay, that is the number. Maitreya also. But if you mean here in this room, the name is changed every week, almost weekly. So because we don't want even to get attached to a name in the altar. But if that is your realization, I accept that. That would be fine. Go ahead, Dustin.
My question was, what are some things that a person can do who has not yet opened their third eye in order to channel some of their excess energy into their higher chakras?
Yeah, there are many ways to do that. It depends really upon individual. As I said, some people like to meditate, close their eyes. That is the fastest and greatest way of doing that. But because it is sitting in place, maybe if you have excess energy, it will not completely go away. And other people like to go for a to run or to go to gym or to go to, you know, for a walk or go to the mountain, go fishing, go for a ride. And there are many, many ways you can channel that excess energy to the higher self. And of course, the best way is to get on with the mission and preach the mission, reach to the people, start a class, a yoga class or a meditation class for the mission, or use the 6 weeks, is it 6 weeks? 6 weeks meditation class that we have in the website, and do God's will to see what is the will of God for you. And then, of course, use that excess energy to direct that energy toward the doing the will of God. Or if you want, as I said, if you don't have anything else to do, you know, go for a run or do something that physical and burns that energy and that excess energy for a better body, better building a better body, building a better mind, or building a better spirit, physical, mental, or spiritual progress. So it depends upon individual. Each person should choose or realize what works for him or her. You know, we have, you know, a couple of individuals here. Their meditation is to do gardening. Okay, and they love and do gardening. There is this, you know, receive great realization and receive very high level of, you know, consciousness. And some of them like to go for a walk, you know, and some of our members like to go packing them and go to the mountain. I individually like to go for a ride, you know, and just go for a long ride and, you know, feel very, you know, use that energy for a higher thought. So it's up to you, but the best way to use your energy is to direct it to the following eternal divine path, meditation, creation of communities of life, sacrificing for it, so then submit to God and become a universalist. Therefore you become an elect, and then know thyself. That's what boils down to, know thyself, to know how, what works for you best, and how, but don't let that scattered energy take you to the places or to direction which is not godly, and look at it to see how that energy is affecting you, and if you have an excess energy, you know, meditate on it to see how you can channelize it in the best way possible. I hope that makes sense to you. If it doesn't, you know, just follow up with your question. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes, my question was concerning the passage that I was reading in Matthew 15, where Christ said that I am not sent but for the house of Israel. So Christ was only sent for the house of Israel. Is that correct?
Absolutely, you know, that is very good observation. Christ came actually for the last tribe of Israel, and he said it himself. You just said it again, Christ said it very clearly. And also even the high priest, if you read our teaching in the All Prophets Are Fulfilled, high priest also prophesied that he has come to gather the last sheep of Israel, which is the tenth last tribe of Israel, who were separated from the rest of the tribe, which were the Benjamin, Judah, and the Levites with them, and the ten tribes became the northern kingdom. And when they were attacked, but I think the Assyrians, they were completely scattered and completely lost. Actually, in history, apparently nobody knows what happened to them. Even when Christ came, you know, the northern kingdom, you know, just like that woman told him, you know, you have come for the Jews, you know, but you should have no mercy on us also. And he succumbed and said, okay, yes, and he healed him. And also it's very clear in the Bible and in the New Testament that is what Christ mostly came for. For the last 10 tribes of Israel, who were scattered to north and northwest, and eventually came to Europe and United States, and that is where you can find more Christians. Most Christians are in that area, and they are the 10 last tribes of Israel. And of course, Prophet Muhammad came mostly for Arabs, or Ishmaelites, and they are mostly in the in Middle East, to North Africa, to Spain, even Spanish people have a lot of Arab blood in them, and you can see the South America is mostly Ishmaelites, and North America is mostly the last tribe of Israel, and New Mexico is right in the border between the two, and that the revelation actually reached out to humanity mostly from this area. So the two brothers, the Ishmaelites and the children of Isaac, are northern United States mostly and southern United States. Of course, the religions not only come from one people, they also attack and convert other people to it, just like a Muslim also. There are a lot of Muslims in Indonesia and areas that are not Muslim. I mean, they're not Arabs, but they are Muslim, or Christianity. There's a lot of Christianity in it. Actually, the Eastern Orthodox Christians probably are not the last tribe of Israel, but the ones in the West are mostly the last tribe of Israel. And also the Baha'i teaching, you know, came in Persia, and it spread to the West, and it did not cover the mystical path. So this revelation actually is the only revelation have come for whole humanity. It does not have a specific gender. That's why a person from the East come to the West, and then it reveals it to the West, which has the best communication ability for humanity, and he can communicate this revelation all over the earth because of the West has so much, you know, potential for communication. We can reach the whole humanity through it, you know. So we can see the universality of it, the amazingness of how God planned it, you know, to this point, and it is the most universal revelation for every man and woman and child on earth. It doesn't have any specific people in mind for every human being on earth. That was very beautiful, you know, observation. Yes, actually, that was a point we were discussing with another in person in the mission, and he was in the belief that Christianity is very universal. Yes, every religion has universal points on them, but actually Christ mostly came for the last tribe of Israel, or last children of Israel. Very good question. Alright, we are at the end of our time, and again, salam to everyone. We pay our salutation to the divinity within you. Know thyself, follow eternal divine path, you will reach God. And if you want, of course, help to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth by working toward the communities of light, grace of the communities of light, and coordinating the mission so we can create the facilitating body and see that His kingdom come. Have a nice week and godly week. Salam and see you next week.